You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 11. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts and the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time, the beginning of life, the beginning of sin, and the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in Genesis and are further developed in other books in the Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. We've titled podcast number 11, In the Beginning, the Role of the Trinity in Creation and Throughout our Holy Bible. The word Trinity comes from the Latin word Trinitas, that's spelled T-R-I-N-I-T-A-S, meaning three or one. The word Trinity was first introduced by Tertullian, an African-born theologian, at the end of the second century. The word Trinity, the word Incarnation, the word Rapture, and the word Christians do not appear in our Holy Bible. However, there is very clear Bible-based evidence for the belief in all four of the words. The doctrine of the Trinity, as shown in Scripture, is that there is only one God, and this one God exists as one essence in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. The three relate to one another in personal ways. The Trinity does not mean one God in three gods. The Trinity does not mean three persons in one person. The Trinity does not mean three persons in three gods. The Trinity does not mean one person in three gods. The Trinity means one God in three persons. The Father's God, the first person in the Trinity. The Son, Jesus Christ, is God, the second person in the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is God, the third person in the Trinity. Let's talk about the role of the Trinity in creation. Go with me to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's look at John 1, 1 through 3, and John 1, 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there was the Trinity. There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit present and were active participants and co-laborers in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. The Hebrew name for God in Genesis 1, 1 and 2 is Elohim. That's spelled E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim means God the Creator. The name Elohim is used in Scripture as a singular and plural pronoun. This is interesting because there are two separate, distinct natures of God represented in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And when you include John 1, 1 through 3 and 14 to the previous Scripture, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit present in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. God is plural, but God is one. Think about that. God is plural, but God is one. This is not a contradiction. God's ways are clearly higher than our ways. This concept is more readily apparent as we read further in Genesis 1. Consider this passage from Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Us and our are plural pronouns. The Hebrew name Elohim is used 35 times from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3 in the narrative that discusses the creation of the world. God the Father's God, the first person in the Trinity. Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Genesis 35:11 says, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, and a nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all living things. Is there anything too hard for me? These scriptures and many other scriptures make it very clear that God the Father is God. Jesus Christ is also God, the second person in the Trinity. Go with me again to John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's look at what Colossians 1:16 says. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And I really like what Philippians 2:9-11 says. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These scriptures give very clear and convincing evidence that Jesus Christ is also God, the second person in the Trinity. But there's a third person in the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts 5:3-4. Peter asks, Ananias, how is it that Satan has influenced you to lie to the Holy Spirit by withholding some of the proceeds from the sale of your land? Was that property yours to keep? After you sold it, wasn't the money yours to do with whatever you wanted? What made you think of such a thing? You haven't lied to people, but to God. The scriptures are very clear that the Holy Spirit is also God, the third person in the Trinity. There are a number of scriptures that mention the Trinity, but I'm only going to give you a few of those just to give you an idea. 2 Corinthians 13-14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit is all mentioned in the same scripture. Go with me to John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. What is this scripture saying? This scripture is saying that you have Jesus referencing God the Father and the Holy Ghost in the same scripture, in the same passage, all three in one. Let me give you one additional scripture that mentions the Trinity. Go with me, please, to Matthew 28:19. Here we have the resurrected Jesus Christ telling the disciples, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Once again, these are just a few of the scriptures that mention God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the same passage. These scriptures provide further evidence of the doctrine of the Trinity. Let's look at a few scriptures that show the nature and personal interaction of the three members of the Holy Trinity. Go with me to 1 John 4:14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So what am I saying? God the Father sends God the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at another. John 8:28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you will then realize that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak these things as the Father has instructed me. This passage of scripture is saying that the Son speaks not of his own, but he speaks on behalf of the Father. Let's look at another one. Let's look at John 8:16-18. But if I, this is Jesus Christ, do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who has sent me. So Jesus is stating that he and God the Father count as two witnesses. These scriptures and many other scriptures show the distinct nature and personal interaction between the three members of the Trinity. Let's talk a little bit further about the identity and relationship of the members of the Trinity. God the Father is not the Son. God the Father is not the Holy Spirit. God the Father is God. Jesus Christ is not God the Father. Jesus Christ is not God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is not God the Father. The Holy Spirit is not God the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. All three are equally God. All three are separate. And all three are one God. Go with me to Isaiah 43:10-11. It says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant, whom I chose, so that you would know and believe me and understand that I am the one. Before me, no God was formed, and after me, there has been no other. I am the Lord, and there is no other God besides me. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there's one body, in one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These scriptures provide evidence that Christians are monotheistic and serve only one God. While we can't fully comprehend the Trinity, we can fully apprehend the Trinity. There's evidence in the scriptures for the doctrine of the Trinity. The scriptures provide evidence that there's only one God, and this one God exists as one essence in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. As finite humans, we are unable to fully comprehend an infinite God. Most people can't fully comprehend how the remote control works on the television. However, we can all fully apprehend it daily to change channels. Most people can't fully comprehend how a microwave oven works. However, most people can fully apprehend it daily to warm up their food. As mere mortals, we are unable to fully comprehend infinity and the doctrine of the Trinity. However, by carefully and prayerfully reading our Holy Bible, we can fully apprehend the doctrine of the Trinity. We worship one God. And this one God exists as one essence in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Job 11:7 says, can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let's sum up our lesson. In the beginning, the role of the Trinity in creation and throughout our Holy Bible. The Trinity comes from the Latin word Trinitas, which means three or one. Although the words Trinity, Incarnation, Rapture, and Christians do not appear in our Holy Bible, there is ample evidence in Scripture of their reality. The doctrine of the Trinity states that there is only one God, and this one God exists as one essence in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:1-2 and John 1, 1 through 3 provides evidence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being present and being active participants and co-laborers in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. Elohim is a Hebrew name for God the Creator. The name Elohim is used in Scripture as a singular and plural pronoun 35 times between Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3. God the Father is God and is the first person in the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God and is the second person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God and is the third person in the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 13:14, Luke 1:35, Matthew 28:19, Matthew 3:16 through 17, Romans 14:17 through 18, 1 Peter 1:1 and 2, John 14:26 are examples of scriptures where all three members of the Trinity are mentioned in the same passage. 1 John 4:14, John 8:28, 2 John 3, John 16:13 through 14, John 8:16 through 18, and John 17:4 through 5 are examples of scriptures that show the members of the Trinity interacting and relating to one another in personal ways. God the Father is not the Son. God the Father is not the Holy Spirit. God the Father is God. Jesus Christ is not God the Father. Jesus Christ is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is not God the Father. The Holy Spirit is not God the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. Isaiah 43:10-11, Deuteronomy 6:4, Psalm 46:10, and Ephesians 4:4-6 are examples of scriptures that give evidence that Christians are monotheistic and serve only one God. Philippians 2:5-11 and other scriptures give evidence that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The scriptures show evidence that there is only one God, and this one God exists as one essence in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. As finite humans, we are unable to fully comprehend an infinite God and the Trinity. However, by carefully and prayerfully reading our Holy Bible, we can fully apprehend the doctrine of the Trinity. If, after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer after me, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. Also, we are available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcast study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. We are asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help us sustain and expand our ministry services in the upcoming year. We understand that some of our listeners are unable financially to support our efforts at this time. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work in the upcoming year. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org by clicking on the donation tab. You can also bless us by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama 35403. We are looking forward to your generous support that will help us sustain and expand our ministry service in the upcoming year. May God bless you. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." What does being made in God's image mean? Does being made in God's image mean that we are gods? We know that God created man. And we know that man became a living soul. We know that man's days are numbered. What happens to our soul when we die? Does our soul die with our body? Does our soul live for eternity? I'm glad you asked. We will address these questions in our next blog and in our next podcast titled Mankind, the Climax of God's Creation. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.